Hey, good morning. So good to be here with you. I want to say hello to everyone worshiping with us at the South Auburn location. I'm Pastor Adam. I'm the lead pastor of our church, and we are glad that you're joining us as well this morning. We are one church that meets in more than one place. That means there is more to New Hope Christian Center than what you see in the room that you're seated in right now. So I want to say hello to everyone else. Maybe you're watching online or worshiping sometime later this week. We're glad that you're joining us as well. Have you ever noticed that there tends to be some people who really have their life together? Then there's the rest of us. Like, you ever wondered what's the difference between people that are really fulfilled? Like they're fulfilled. They've got stuff together. They've got their finances together. Their marriage seems to be together. Their kids seem to have it together. And then there's other people that just kind of wonder, like, they have their life. I want one. Like, I want that. I want to be fulfilled in that way. You ever wonder what's the difference between people who are truly, truly fulfilled and everybody else? What's the difference? I'll tell you what it's not. Is it talent? Like the really fulfilled people are more talented. Well, it can't be that. I know it can't be. How do I know that? Because I know a lot of people that are very, very gifted, but broke. So that can't be the... move that a little bit. That can't be the difference. Is it their intelligence? Like, all the really smart people, they're the ones that really got it together and they're fulfilled. It can't be that, because I know some people, you do too. They're really smart but miserable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody ever met somebody who's smart and stupid at the same time?
Yes.
That's me sometimes, I guess. It can't be intelligence. That's not the difference between people that are fulfilled and not. Is it their appearance? Like, well, why not? Why is it? Why would it not be? Because the Bible says that Saul stood a head taller than everybody else. It's not. Because I know plenty of people that are really attractive, but they can't keep a relationship to save their life. But these are the things that we think about when we think about people that are really fulfilled, that seem to have success handed to them, and they just carry it around on a platter. It's, well, they're really talented, they're smart, they're good looking. But that's not the difference between people who have life and people that wish they could get it. What is it? It boils down to the decisions.
Come on.
The decisions we make determine the quality of our life.
Yes. Come on.
You make a decision, and then it makes you.
Come on.
Just think about that for a second. You are where you are today. Sometimes there's other things. I mean, it's not an exclusive statement, but you are where you are today largely because of decisions you've made.
Come on.
Yeah.
You went to school. Now you have the job you... Yeah. Or you didn't go to school. Now you have the job you have. Like, that might have played into it.
Yep.
One decision in a bedroom changes years and years and years of the rest of your life. One decision at the bank will change the way you have to think about your monthly finances for 30 years fixed.
That's right. Yep.
I need to talk about this, because the truth is, we're pretty bad at making decisions.
Yeah.
I know I am. But we're just not all that great at making decisions. See, the Bible tells us this as well. Proverbs 16:1. The Bible says, we can make our own plans. We can make our own decisions. But the Lord gives the right answer.
Amen.
In other words, my paraphrase is, you ain't no good decision maker.
Yeah.
You're not as good of a decision maker as God is.
Come on.
But we're not that good at making decisions. We're really not. Maybe for you, you want to be healthy. And then there's that crueler. Like you want to be healthy until, or you want to be really wise with the words that come out of your mouth, and you want to bring blessing, you want to bless people with the words that come out of your mouth. Like, you want that, but you know what you said last night. You know how you snapped at somebody. We're not that good at decision making. We want to be frugal. So we're frugal and frugal, and like we do okay for, you know, a week. And then Apple released a new product, and you just got to have it. Do you want to hear the time I learned that I was a bad decision maker? You want to hear about it? What, you want to hear about how stupid I am? Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you the truth. Here you go. It was a long time ago. I just bought a house, and I grew up in the country. We didn't have a garbage disposal. And so now I've bought my own house in town, and this house doesn't have a garbage disposal. And every time I went to a friend's house, they had garbage disposals. And I was like, I want luxury, baby. I bought my own house. I'm ready to live like a king.
Right.
So I bought a garbage disposal. And I'm not kidding, I brought it home and I unpacked it and I was like, oh, I need plumbing parts for it too. So I went back to Home Depot and I found this thing. They sold it as a kit. It was a plumbing kit with pipes and stuff. It was called Garbage Disposal Plumbing Kit. And I'm like, sweet! They sell it, if they sell it as a kit, can't be that hard. So I took it home and I followed every instruction, watched a few YouTube videos, and I had all the places, all the things, like, were going where they should go. Keep in mind, I'm not a particularly handy person. I'm just really stubborn and believe it, right? I just believe I can do it. So I put together this contraption, and I'm like, I think it's good, right? Like, I got to the point where I could wiggle it, and it doesn't fall down. I just assume it's normal that it wiggles, but it didn't fall down. You're laughing like this is hyperbole. It's not. It's really exactly what happened. It was wiggling. I'm like, but it's not falling apart, so it's still good. So I turned the water on, and it's leaking everywhere. I'm like, oh, stupid thing was malfunctioning. They sold me the wrong kit, and so I tried to tighten it. It still was leaking. And so I'm like, okay, what do I do? And then I remembered an infomercial I had seen.
Oh, good.
With the tagline, big and small, Mighty Putty does it all. And they had this thing where they took a coffee cup. No, listen now. They took a coffee cup, they cracked it into pieces, and then they put it back together with Mighty Putty.
Yeah.
And they put liquid in it, and it wouldn't come through. So it's got to work. And so I went to the store, and I bought me some Mighty Putty.
Right.
Now you would think, Adam, just call a plumber. No, because I'm going to save some money. So I went and I bought some Mighty Putty. I was kind of surprised how expensive it was, but I bought some Mighty Putty. It was like two types of Play-Doh, and you put it together and then it hardens, and I did all the stuff, and I have to wait a while, right? My kitchen sink is out of operation this whole time. I wait, I'm like, I think it's good. Turn it on, it starts leaking around some of the edges. I'm like, I made the logical conclusion of what to do next at that point. What's going wrong? I didn't have enough Mighty Putty. I'm not even kidding. Two more times for a total of three trips to get Mighty Putty. And you come back and now under my sink, there's more Mighty Putty than pipe. And I'm like, big and small, Mighty Putty does it all. Except this, it wasn't working. And finally, after spending everything I was gonna later spend on a plumber, I just called a plumber and I was like, it doesn't work, you gotta fix it. And he had that thing fixed in like 10 minutes, and then I saw his bill, and I'm like, that's what I spent on the Mighty Putty, like going back so many times. We're not that good at making decisions. That makes me ask, why do we struggle to make good decisions? None of us are that great at making decisions. We you're good at making a decision, but you're not good at making all of them. Three reasons we struggle to make a good decision. Number one is we're overwhelmed with choices. I don't know who, but somebody says we have 35,000 decisions that we make every single day. That's what who's they? I don't know. They say we make 35,000 decisions every single day. You wake up, what are you gonna eat? What are you gonna wear? Are you gonna have a second cup of coffee or just one? What are you going to scroll? What are you going to tap on? Are you going to comment to that? Are you going to keep your mouth shut? When you get into the car, you're going to go to work. Are you going to go this way? Are you going to go that way? Which way are you going to go? That's not even getting to work. You get to work and you have, what am I going to say? When do I keep my mouth shut? When do I talk? I'm going to call it decision collision. There's so many decisions, and they collide in together. Take the grocery store, for example. If you walk down a grocery store aisle, you're going to be making 1,000 decisions just in the grocery store alone. One example could be a ketchup bottle. It used to be Heinz versus Hunt's. Which one are you going to get? You're going to get Heinz, you're going to get Hunt's, or real fancy, Red Gold. Like there used to be just a few choices. I did a little search at a grocery store. Now you, just in Heinz alone, you can pick Heinz. What kind of Heinz do you want? Organic certified? 100% natural? Do you want Heinz thicker and richer? No sugar added? Do you want no salt added? Which is somehow different than reduced sodium. They're different ketchups from Heinz. Or you want some flavor with it. You can have jalapeno ketchup. You can have chipotle ketchup. You can have a habanero ketchup. And if that's confusing, no joke, you can get Simply Ketchup. It's less confusing. And that's like, now if you pick which kind of ketchup you want, you now have to pick what size of ketchup do you want. Do you want 14 ounce, 19 ounce, I'm not even kidding, 20 ounce, 29.5 ounce?
No.
Yes, it's a size, 32 ounce, 38 ounce, 64 ounce, or a 2-pack. So many decisions that we make. Or how about this one? Toothpaste. Consumer Reports recently found 27 varieties of Crest and 25 varieties of Colgate in one store. Like, of course you're overloaded with decision. That's going to lead to decision fatigue.
For sure.
Decision fatigue is you just make so many decisions, and you're just tired of it. Decision fatigue in a sentence would be, as the number of decisions increase, the quality of your decisions decrease.
Yeah.
You have more, and then you start doing worse. Have you ever heard somebody binge eat for breakfast?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who's struggled binge eating before 8 a.m. Mm. You wake up, you do all right. You do all right in the morning. You go to work and you make wise decisions all day at work, then you come home and binge eat at the end. Or you be really wise with your finances for a really long time. And you're wise, you're frugal, and then you make a stupid impulse decision and load up your credit card. Or all day long, this might relate to you, all day long you're patient with your customers. You're kind to your clients. You're cool and collected with your coworkers. And you do good with your decisions. You make good decisions with how you react to people from 8 to 5. And then you come home and snap. You snap at your wife, you snap at your husband, you snap at your kids. Why did I say that? Why did I talk like that? What happened? That might be decision fatigue. You have so many decisions, and as the number of decisions increase, the quality of them decrease. Why are we bad? We're talking about why are we bad at decision-making. Here's another reason we're bad at making decisions. We're afraid of making a wrong choice. This is particularly the case for Christians, because it's commendable on one hand, but at the same time, it can go too far. Christians want to make the right decision.
Yep.
We want to walk in God's will. I hope you do want to walk in God's will. So before your decision, you pray and you say, Lord, is this the perfect thing that you have planned for me? Is this the perfect choice? And you're not sure, so you don't do nothing. Indecision is a decision. Anybody ever done that? You're afraid of not being perfect. You're afraid of making an imperfect choice. You don't know what perfection is, so I just don't know. It's actually the same situation that was going on when Jesus told the parable of the bags of gold or the parable of the talents. The master, and that parable, the master gave varying amounts of money to different workers.
Yeah.
And the guy at the end, who had received the fewest, he rewarded the people that had more, who did something with it. But the guy that had the least, when it came to him, we'll just read it together. When it came to him, that servant with one bag of silver came and said, "I was afraid I would lose your money, so I just hid it. I just hid it. I didn't do anything with it. I didn't lose it, but I just hid it. I didn't make a decision. I wanted to play it safe." Play it safe might feel comfortable to you, but when God has called you to move, that's not wise. When God calls you to move, you obey. We wind up with analysis paralysis. Is this choice or this choice? And we just analyze so much, we become paralyzed and don't move. I want perfection. I want it to be perfect. We wind up in this system. Analysis paralysis is when you start to live with chronic indecision. And when you're living with chronic indecision, you wind up with anxiety over every decision.
Yeah.
Is that godly? Let's look at it. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. God's a God that will bring peace. Chronic indecision, analysis paralysis, anxiety over every decision. That's not what God has for you. He has something better for you. Why are we so bad at being a decision maker? Number three, we let our emotions overrule logic. Emotions overrule logic. Listen, church, don't make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Because one thing we all know about emotions is that they don't last forever.
That's right.
They don't. It is true, like emotions are fact, but they're not truth. It is true, it is a fact that you feel the way you feel, but it may not be true.
That's right.
It may be a fact that you feel like everybody hates you, but that is not the truth. God loves you.
That's right.
That is the truth. You have a church that loves you. That is the truth.
Yes.
Don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary emotion. That statement right there goes against very common wisdom that you may hear. How about this one? Follow your heart. Anybody heard that before? Just follow your heart. Works really good for Disney movies. Follow your heart. Just whatever your heart says, follow it. Don't raise your hand. Do you think that's a good, is that good advice? Follow your heart?
No.
What's the Bible say? Your heart is deceitful above all things. Just follow it. I dare you. See how it works out for you. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, your feelings are not necessarily truth, and your feelings, your heart, can get in the way of godly wisdom. I like to call it this. Emotion commotion. Emotions are a very powerful thing. And when you wind up in a situation where there's unexpected temptation, anyone ever find themselves in a place you did not expect to find temptation, but there it is? Your logic, in that moment, your logic will say, that's not smart. Your brain, the righteous part of you, Jesus in you, will say, that is not what you want. You be careful.
Yes.
But you have emotion commotion going on. Your logic says, that's dangerous. I don't want to do that. But emotions will say, hoorah, time to party. Emotion commotion. The Bible says it like this, Proverbs 14:29. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. Or another way you could say it, people with logic control their emotion. Your emotions are something God gave you, and they're an indicator of something that's happening inside of you. But don't make decisions based upon the emotions. Nobody plans to make a bad decision. But nobody plans not to either. And that's what this series is about. Today's sermon is really an introduction to the series. There's six decisions that I hope you make to decide where you're going to be before you get there. Like, what will you do when you get there? You will come to a bridge. What will you do when you are there? Decide now who you want to be. That is the power of pre-deciding. Make a decision ahead of time. Pre-decisions are the most powerful of decisions. I was reminded of this when I had food ready for my kids. We were going to have dinner together, and I made something that they've eaten before. I made something that they liked before. Now it's on the plate, and I say, here's your food. And they're like, I don't like that. I'm like, did you try it? No, but I don't like that. I'm like, you just pre-decided. I want us to pre-decide. When we get to the place when we have a choice to be godly or not godly, what will you do when you get there? Because if you decide ahead of time, that decision's going to be a whole lot easier. No one plans to make an unwise, ungodly decision. But nobody plans not to. I want to coach us. Let's plan on not making ungodly decisions. Let's plan ahead. We're going to pre-decide what kind of person we're going to be when we get there. So we can honor God when the time comes. Showed this verse earlier, Proverbs 16:1. We can make our own plans, but the Lord knows the right answer. In other words, you're not that good of a decision maker. Two verses later, he gives us the way out. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord. Everybody say the highlighted part with me. Commit to the Lord. One more time. Commit to the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Let me break it down. We give it to God. Whatever we do, whatever you decide, would also be applicable. What do we do with our decisions? We commit them to the Lord. Well, what kind of decisions, Pastor Adam? I heard that in the back. I'm going to answer that question. Your marriage decisions. Your relationship decisions. The way you speak to someone decisions. Commit it to the Lord. Your financial decisions. Your business decisions. Your work decisions. Commit them to the Lord. Whatever you decide, and he'll establish your plans. Commit them to the Lord. Your parenting decisions, your school decisions. Do I stay? Do I quit? Is it time? Commit them to the Lord. This is a phrase we're going to look at a few times in this series. When faced with blank, I have pre-decided to blank. This is how we have to start thinking about things. If you want to plan on not making an unwise, ungodly decision, it starts with this. When I'm faced with blank, I've pre-decided to blank. And you start with the ones that you know you'll struggle with. If you've struggled with it in the past, you're apt to struggle with it again in the future. Let's run a few examples. When faced with an impulse purchase, that's foolish to just spend money you don't have on something you don't need because your emotions peaked. Mm-hmm. So what will you do? You can't stop the desire. Like, it's going to come in front of you. When faced with the impulse decision, the impulse purchase, I have pre-decided to wait 3 days. Yep. When faced with an impulse decision, I've pre-decided that I will not spend anything more than $50 without talking with my spouse. I'm not going to do that. Or maybe you struggle with doubt. If you've ever doubted, does God really love me? Is this my salvation true? If you've ever been an inkling of doubt, do this one. When faced with doubt, pre-decide. Right now you have faith. Right now you walked into church. But will there be a day when you got a little bit of doubt in your heart, a little doubt in your head? If you think that there will become a day when you have a little doubt, pre-decide. That way, the moment you're faced with doubt, you've pre-decided, I'm going to stop immediately and pray. Lord, I need you to help. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to call two people that are Christians. I'm going to pray. Because the moment doubt's in your head, You still got enough faith to do something.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's like you're in Artemis and you gotta do a burn to adjust. Course correct. You still have a chance to course correct.
That's right. Yeah.
The moment doubt's in your head, course correct. You gotta get in the right orbit.
Good word.
Or when faced with someone who cut me off in traffic, I've pre-decided that I will stop and I will pray for them to go to heaven and not tell them another place to go. Pre-decide. Decide ahead of time what you're going to do so you can be godly when you get there. That's exactly what Daniel did. Daniel, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Daniel was faced with being in a very ungodly world. He was a Jew, and he was taken as a boy even and put into Babylonian captivity, and they started brainwashing him to be Babylonian. But what did Daniel do? He resolved to not defile himself. Another word for resolved, pre-decided. He pre-decided that he was not going to defile himself. He was going to stay true. All right, I'm in Babylon. I'm around a bunch of ungodliness, but I have pre-decided what kind of person I'm going to be when I get there. Why? Why? Because he knew who and what he valued. His values were rock solid, and they were not going to move. What do you value? What do you truly value? What's most important to you? How do people talk about you? That also can tell you what your values are. How do you want people to talk about you? Maybe that's the question to ask. How do you want people to talk about you? When you're dead and gone and people are talking about you at your funeral, what do you want them to say? Because they're going to talk about things that came about because of your decisions. What kind of things do you want people to know you for? What kind of reputation do you want? Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I'm going to substitute a couple words that I think are appropriate in this instance. Above all else, guard your values. Guard the things that you value. Because everything you decide comes from everything you value.
Yep, that's right.
The Bible, right here in this verse, I love it because it's revealing that I could say it the other way. Modern science and sociology has now discovered, psychology has discovered this.
Right.
It's called identity-based decision making. And studies show that every single time we make a decision, every time we're faced with this or this, we quickly ask two questions. What kind of person am I? And what's a person like that do in a situation like this? Pizza, salad. What kind of person am I? If the truth is, I'm kind of an easy does it, feels good, do it kind of a guy. Or do I am a healthy person. That is the kind of person. I'm a person on a journey of being healthy. What's that kind of a person do in this kind of a situation? If I'm a person that's on a journey of being healthy, then that person goes towards the salad. Are you gonna you get a phone call from somebody you used to date a long time ago. Now you're married. What kind of person am I? What's that kind of a person do in this kind of a situation? And when I'm asking what kind of person am I, that's, and these are questions, you're probably not asking them out loud and journaling about it. It happens like that.
Yep.
Like that. What kind of person am I? What you're tapping into, what are my values? What do I value? I value purity. I value righteousness. I value what God says.
That's right. Come on.
That's what kind of person I am. So what's that kind of person do in a situation like this? I guard my heart. I guard my values, for all my decisions flow from it. See, the truth is this, and Daniel knew this. When your values are settled, your decisions become simple.
That's a good word.
It's not hard anymore.
Yep.
When you know what it is you actually value. What do you value? Purity, faithfulness, righteousness? Your decisions will determine your direction. And that direction will determine your destiny. A lot of things about your future. It'll determine a lot of things for your kids. So here's a question. If your life moves in the direction of your decisions, and I think that's pretty obvious that in general it absolutely does. You get this, you say yes to this job, and now you have that job. Why? Because your life moves in the direction of your decisions, okay? If your life moves in the direction of your decisions, do you like the direction your decisions are taking you? If not, take your life back. Take your life back. They're your decisions. If you want to head in a direction that honors God in everything you do, then commit your decisions to the Lord.
Yes.
Align your values with the values of God. Practice this. When faced with blank, I've pre-decided to blank. I would hope that you could do this with one thing this week, the thing that you keep struggling with over and over again. Pre-decide. When you wake up in the morning, pre-decide. Before you're tired of all of the decisions you got to make, pre-decide. When I'm faced with that, this is what I'm going to do in that moment. When I have doubt that pops into my mind, I'm going to immediately pray and call two people. That's what I'm going to do. There's a few decisions that I'd like to submit to you. I hope you'll make at least one of these. One decision you might want to make is baptism. That's happening next week. You can decide to be public about your faith and declare it. Baptism is an outward sign of what's happened on the inside of you. You've surrendered your life to Christ, and you want somebody else to know it. We're doing baptism next week. If you're interested in that, hop on our website, newhope.in/baptism, and there's a short little video to watch, and you can sign up right there, and we can baptize you next week. Another decision you might want to make is child dedication. That's coming up on May 10th. Listen, the decisions we make don't just affect us.
That's right.
My kids have clean teeth, and it's not because they decided to brush them. Right? Mom and Dad said, you will brush your teeth. Your decisions do not just affect you, they affect somebody else.
They do, yep.
They affect your kids, they affect your coworkers, they affect everybody in your house. And if you have some kids and you've not dedicated your children to the Lord, it's not like a sacrifice or anything like that. We just pray for them. We pray for them. We pray for them. That's what we do. We pray for them. And it's a way of saying, I've pre-decided that these kids, my kid, is going to be taught the way of God.
Yep.
He's going to be taught the way of Jesus as he grows up, as she grows up. So we're going to be doing child dedication on May 10th. If you're interested in that, stop by the information table and ask for one of the child dedication booklets. It's not a book. It's just a real short few pages of some information. I want to make sure we're on the same page. Grab that and you can sign up for that. Another decision I would hope you may consider is picking up your Bible tomorrow morning. I'm setting the bar real low.
Amen.
Pastor Adam, don't you think we should read the Bible through a year? Sure. Start with tomorrow morning. Yeah? Well, I didn't get through. I never can get through it in a year. Can you get through tomorrow morning? Pick it up.
Right, yeah.
Just go. I missed a day. And I'm all behind on my plan now, and I missed it. I'm such a failure. I just give up. You want to keep being a failure? Just hit the delete key.
There you go.
And go.
Right, yeah.
Just read it. God wants to. Like if there's some times in my relationship with my wife, there's some times that are busier than others. And there's some days we go a whole day and barely talk. Well, it was just really hard. You know, I'd failed and I'm just done. It was really hard. I didn't talk to her yesterday. So you're never gonna talk to her again? That'd be dumb. That's stupid. But we do the same thing with our Bible plans. Well, I failed today, so. Okay, when tomorrow? So, tomorrow morning, I hope you make that decision. Just a few decisions I hope you might consider. And another one, I hope you all make this one. Commit for 6 weeks. Put it on your calendar. Yes. Sunday, 9:30. Sunday, 11. Right. You do it for a doctor appointment.
Yep. There you go.
If you plan a vacation, you put that on your calendar so you don't plan a doctor appointment.
Yep. That's right.
So what you gonna do next Sunday, the Sunday after that, the Sunday after that, the Sunday that, the Sunday after that, the Sunday. Church. Put it on your calendar.
Yep.
Make it a priority. It's not just going to affect you. It's going to affect everyone in your family.
Yes.
And that matters. Commit for the next 6 weeks when we go through this series. I'm going to show you some decisions that God wants you to make. And you can pre-decide of what kind of person you're going to be before you get there. And you will come to that bridge. What kind of person are you going to be when you're there? The truth is, this series is one I need. Because there's sometimes I waver. There's some days I'm selfish. I am by nature selfish. So are you. No offense. Sometimes I'm unintentional with life. I wait for life to come at me instead of going after it. I can be at times short-sighted. I don't see what God has for me in the future, and I just think about what's happening right in front of me. And sometimes I can be inclined to give up. But I can pre-decide on those six areas what kind of person I'm going to be when that comes. I can pre-decide and move my life in a better direction when I make these decisions, that I am ready, I am consistent, I am devoted, I am generous, I am faithful, and I am a finisher. I am ready, I am consistent, I am devoted, I am generous, I am faithful, and I am a finisher. Would you say the colored words with me? I am ready, I am
consistent,
I am
devoted,
I am
generous,
I am
faithful,
I am a finisher. When your values are settled, your decisions become very simple.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, we are not saved by the quality of our decisions.
Yes.
We are saved
yes.
because Jesus came and pre-decided it's not going to be my will. It's going to be, if not my will, it's yours.
Yeah.
He pre-decided that he would die on the cross
yeah.
and pay the penalty for our sin. And when we say yes to him, we can have eternal life with him. And when our values get settled, we don't just have life forever. We can have life in our life on this earth. So I hope you would commit to come back for the next 6 weeks as we continue to dive into this series. Can we all stand together, please? Proverbs 16:3. Said to commit to the Lord all your decisions and he'll establish your plans. That's everything. Commit to the Lord. Another way to say that, surrender to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. So the question today is, will you surrender? Will you surrender to our King? You want him to be your king. You say he's your king. He's not king unless you surrender. And I think probably runs about 100%. There's at least a part that ain't surrendered to our King. Lord, show us what that part is. We want all of us to be surrendered. Lord, I surrender all of my heart, all of my desires, all of my motives, my behavior, my words, and my decisions. God, I surrender to you. Your way is better, God. Surrender to you.